Praise the Lord. Let's stand tonight and we'll open by reading of scripture. Turn with me to Psalms 119. Let's start here, verse 129. It says, "Thy testimonies are wonderful, and therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy words giveth light, giveth understanding unto the simple. I open my mouth and pant it, for I long for thy commandments. Look thou upon me and be merciful unto me, as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Deliver me from the oppression of man, so will I keep thy precepts. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes. Rivers of water run down mine eyes, because they keep not thy law." The Lord had a blessing to the reading of his word. Let's just bow in a word of prayer. Father, we are privileged people tonight to be able to come into the house of the Lord. And Lord, as we come, amen, with expectations tonight, we trust that you would just meet us here in only a way that you can. Minister to every heart, minister to every need. We trust, oh God, that you would get all the glory and all the honor out of this service. And we pray that you bless those that are here, those that are still on the way, give traveling mercies to God. And those that are unable to be with us tonight, we pray that you'd look upon them. We also pray a special blessing upon the minister tonight as he brings the word of the Lord. May you use him, God, for your glory. May we not see him, but may we see Christ on display tonight. It's in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. We want to sing, amen, a little bit of this song. Our God is greater. Amen. Our God is stronger. Amen. Let's sing a little bit of this. What are you turned him to wine? Oh, you open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. Oh, there's none like you. Oh, into the darkness you shine, and it's out of the ashes we rise, because there's no one like you. Oh, there's none like you. Oh, you see, our God is greater. Yes, and our God is stronger. Oh, God, you are higher than any other. Oh, our God is healer. He is awesome in power. Our God, yes, our God. Let's sing that verse again. Oh, water you turned into wine. Hallelujah. And you opened the eyes of the blind. Oh, there is no one like you. Hallelujah. God, there is none like you. Oh,
midst into the darkness you shine, and it's out of the ashes we rise, because there's no one like you. Oh, there is none like you. Oh, we say our God is greater, yes, and our God is stronger. Oh, God, you are higher than any other. Hey, our God is healer. He is awesome in power. Our God, hallelujah. Our God, come on, sing that. Our God is greater. Our God is, yeah. Our God is stronger. Oh, God, you are higher than any other. Oh, our God is healer. He is. Oh, our God, thank you, Lord. He's our God. And if our God is for us, oh, and if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? Say, and if it's with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, oh, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, oh, then what could stand against? Oh, what could stand against? What could stand against? What could stand? And our God is greater. Oh, and our God is stronger. Yes, God, you are higher than any other. And our God is healer. He is awesome in power. Our God, yes, our God.
Amen. Let's give him a hand of praise tonight. Days of Elijah, just get those words.
Praise the Lord. Oh, these are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. Yes, and these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And these are the days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sore. Still we are the voice in the desert crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Oh, behold, he comes. Yeah, riding on the cloud. Oh, shining like the sun. Hey, have the trumpets come. So lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee. Yeah, and out of Zion's hill, salvation comes. These are the days of Ezekiel. These are the days of Ezekiel. Oh, the dry bones becoming as flesh. Hallelujah. And these are the days of your servant David rebuilding the temple of praise. Hallelujah. Oh, and these are the days of the harvest. You see, the fields are all white in the world. Oh, and we are the laborers that are in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Say, behold, he comes. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah, at the trumpets call. Oh, and lift your ear. Oh, at Zion's hill, salvation. Behold, he comes. Behold, he comes. Oh, thank you, Jesus. At the trumpet's call, come on and lift your voice. It's the year. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Hey, oh, there's no God like Jehovah. Oh, there's no God like Jehovah. 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 Say, there's no God like Jehovah. 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 Say, there's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. Oh, behold, he comes. Yeah. Oh, shining like the sun. Hey, at the trumpet's call, come on in. It's the year. Oh, out of Zion's hill. Oh, salvation. Behold, he comes. Say, behold, he comes. Yeah. Hallelujah. Oh, at the trumpet's call, come on and lift your voice. Well, it's the year of Jubilee. Out of Zion's hill. Come on, one more time. Lift your voice. Yeah, we say, behold, he comes. Yeah. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Oh, at the trumpet's call, come on and lift your voice. Well, it's a year of Jubilee. Out of Zion's hill, salvation comes. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen. Can we go? Amen. Just one more course. We'll have our seats. My chains are gone. I've been set free. Amen. How many glad to know that tonight, that all the chains are broken? Amen. Thank God for the blood of Jesus that breaks every chain. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Oh, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Oh, was blind, but now I see. My chains are gone. My chains are gone. Oh, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. Oh, and like a flood, oh, His mercy reigns. Yes, unending love, amazing grace, amazing grace. The Lord has promised. The Lord has promised good to me, and His word, my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be. Yes. As long as life endures, my chains are gone. Say, my chains are gone. I've been set free. I've been set free. My God, my Savior, Savior has ransomed me. Oh, and like a flood, oh, His mercy reigns. Oh, unending love. Yes, amazing grace. My chains are gone, say, my chains are gone. I've been set free, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, oh, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. Amen. Let's go to that verse. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear. Oh, 'twas grace that taught my heart to fear. Oh, and grace my fears relieved. Oh, how precious did that grace appear. Oh, the hour I first believe. One more time, my chains are gone. Say, my chains are gone. Oh, I've been set free. Oh, my God, my Savior has ransomed me. Oh, and like a flood, His mercy reigns. Oh, unending love. Yes, amazing grace. And like a flood, oh, and like a flood, His mercy reigns. Yes, unending love. Amazing grace. Amazing grace. Let's put our hands together for the Lord Jesus tonight. Thank you, God, for breaking every chain. Blessed be His holy name. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Be seated tonight. Amen. Let's just prepare for tonight's tithes and offering. I think I might have a few announcements that I need to make mention of, so let me do that as well. Praise the Lord.
just announced tomorrow night we have Pinnacle Palms at 6:30, Bible study there at Pinnacle. Just keep us in prayer regarding that. Remember, no service on Friday night and no Sunday school this Sunday as well. Also, no Sunday school for next Sunday either. Last rehearsal for the choir will happen on Wednesday night, next Wednesday. So we'll have service Sunday, but no service on next Wednesday because we'll be at choir rehearsal there at Brother Wesco's, and his meetings will be starting on next Thursday, running through Thursday through Sunday. So I believe Thursday night he has a Friday morning service that he did add. He told me about that this week, Friday morning, Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon, Saturday night, Sunday. We'll be back here in church, amen, fellowshipping here, and then Sunday night we'll close out the services there with Brother Wesco. So keep those things in mind, amen. Let's just pray over tonight's offering. Father, as we come to give to you tonight, as you have given to us, we pray that you would use this for the furtherance of your kingdom. We thank you, God, for meeting every need that we have here at this church, and Lord, every need and every family, God, that you just continue to meet over and over again. We just appreciate, Lord, all that you have done for us. And we believe, Lord, that you have so much more in store. So help us, God, to just keep walking by faith and not by sight. And we thank you in advance for our new church and new school, God, that you have already provided. We thank you in advance and call those things that be not as though they were. Father, it's in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. Oh, and like a flood, oh, his mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. Yes, my chains are gone, I've been set free. Oh, my God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, oh, his mercy reigns. Unending love, oh, amazing grace. Just keep playing that softly. Tonight, we have our precious brother that's going to be coming to speak to our hearts from Uganda. And I was kind of asking him what city he was from. He was telling me, well, the closest city is about 20 kilometers. He said, I'm kind of in the, you know, in the bush almost. And just telling him a little bit about his church. So he has a church of about 700 back home that he ministers to. And certainly we're looking forward to having him, amen, just minister tonight to us. I heard last night he was in Boynton Beach. So thank God for some of the saints from Boynton, amen, being here tonight with us. And I understood that they had a wonderful time. Amen. And Boynton Beach on last night. So we are under expectation for what God has in store for us as well tonight. But before he comes, I wanted to have Keith Brown, who brought him down. Amen. He drove him down here to be in fellowship with us tonight. So Brother Brown, the pastor there in St. Augustine, is going to come and just greet you. And amen. And also he'll share a song that he had in his heart. And then he'll just welcome my brother, amen, Brother Abraham, as he would come tonight just to minister to our hearts. So let's stand and just continue to sing this song, My Chains Are Gone, as Brother Keith, amen, comes at this time. My chains are gone, oh, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, yes, his mercy reigns.
Amazing grace. Let's just sing out one. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Amazing love, amazing grace. Praise the Lord. God bless everybody. Amen. How many's happy to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. We just appreciate each and every one of you. Appreciate Brother Jack allowing us to be able to come down. And I just really felt in my heart that this, the Brother Abraham, I just felt that he just got a word for you. Amen. So we wanted to work everything that we was able to. Well, actually, it was the Lord. You be seated if you'd like. It was actually the Lord, the way he put it all together, because originally we was going to have Brother Abraham to come and speak for us for our camp meeting with Brother Jim Ed. And they had did the tickets, and somehow they got the dates turned around that they thought our camp meeting was in July, and it was in June. So, you know, I didn't even know it had messed up until about 2 weeks before the camp meeting. So I'm like, oh, my goodness, you know. But I learned something a long time ago. God don't make mistakes. He don't make mistakes. Amen. He's in control, and he knows all things. Amen. So we just appreciate being here tonight, and we'll get Brother Abraham to come up and minister to you tonight, and I just know you're going to be blessed by his ministry. And he is from Uganda, Africa, and he has a very wonderful testimony of how God brought him and delivered him from the life he was and to the life that he is. Amen. So we're very thankful, and we thought if it'd be okay, maybe we just sing a song. Amen. And just try the key of F, I believe it is. There's a lighthouse on the hillside that overlooks life's sea. When I'm tossed, it sends out a light. Oh, a light that I might see. And the light that shines in darkness now will safely lead me home. If it wasn't for that old lighthouse, tell me where would this ship be? Now everybody around that old lighthouse, they say, why don't you tear it on down? All the big ships, they don't sail this way anymore. There's no use and that old thing standing round. Then my mind goes back to that stormy night when just in time, oh, I saw the light. And the light from that old lighthouse still stands on Calvary's hill. And I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him. Now Jesus is the lighthouse and safe from the rocks of sin. He has shone his light about me, oh, that I might clearly see. If it wasn't for that old lighthouse, tell me, where would this ship be? Won't you sing it with me? Well, and I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him. Jesus is the lighthouse and safe from the rocks of sin. He has shone His light about me. Oh, that I might clearly see. If it wasn't for that old lighthouse, tell me, where would this ship be? Tell me, where would this ship be?
Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God. Amen. We certainly appreciate Brother Brown, and thank God for him bringing Brother Abraham here to be in fellowship with us tonight. And like I said, I believe God has something special for us. God knew all about, you know, the plans and how they would work out, and God knew that Brother Abraham would be here tonight. So let's just pull on the word of God and receive all that God has in store for us. Amen. Let's welcome Abraham tonight. Praise the Lord. God richly bless you, my brother. Amen.
Yeah, God bless you. Greet you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I appreciate the grace of God that He has given us the opportunity to be here. And like the brother was saying, maybe it wasn't so the original plan, but this is what God saw. So greetings from Uganda. The saint sent their greetings to you. And I appreciate Brother Keith for being with me and bringing me around here. I think you must have a problem not falling in love with him. He's such a wonderful brother. And I thank God for the grace that He has given him. Amen. So I think we shall go straight to have a word of prayer. Dear loving Heavenly Father, I want to appreciate you again this night, and Lord, that you've given the grace to your children from various directions to come under this roof, Lord. And we know, God, that's all we can do, and come with open hearts. But see you, Lord God, come and bless us with your presence and reveal yourself to us. For we need more of you every other time. And it's what we are praying for, Lord God, this evening. Thank you for the pastor here, Brother Jack, and the saints here. And Lord God, the light that they are trying to stand to show forth in this place. And Lord, I pray that you'll come down and take over now as we read a portion of your word and have your own way with every individual soul that is here. For Lord God, you know better about them than anybody else. And Lord, you have the portion that you have allotted for each individual soul tonight. And you're the one who can, Lord God, unveil yourself to them through your word. strengthen your servant and anoint me. For you know, Lord God, I am just as they are. I need you, Lord God, come and take over. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just wanted to go to scripture, read some portion of scripture in the book of 2 Kings. Yeah, 2 Kings chapter 8. Some kind of familiar story. I want to pick the first six verses. Then spake Elisha unto the woman whose son he had restored to life, saying, Arise, and go thou and thine household, and sojourn wheresoever thou canst sojourn, for the Lord has called for a famine, and shall also come upon the land 7 years. And the woman arose and did after the saying of the man of God, and she went with her household and sojourned in the land of the Philistines 7 years. And it came to pass at the 7 years' end that the woman returned out of the land of the Philistines, and she went forth to cry unto the king for her house and for her land. And the king talked with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, saying, Tell me, I pray thee, all the great things that Elisha has done. And it came to pass, as he was telling the king how he had restored a dead body to life, that behold, the woman whose son he had restored to life cried to the king for her house and for her land. And Gehazi said, My lord, O king, this is the woman, and this is her son, whom Elisha restored to life. And when the king asked the woman, she told him. So the king appointed unto her a certain officer, saying, Restore all that was hers, and all the fruits of the field since the day that she left the land, even until now. May God bless his word and bless you too. You may be seated. Yeah, reading about Elisha, of course, we know very well we are also in the Elisha days. And anything that affects or is reflected in the ministry of Elisha, we have to look at it very critically, because that's exactly what's going on. And if you look at what Elisha was, this human became part of the Elisha ministry because of the vision that he had towards it and the attitude. And if you look here, you'll find that what was special about Elisha, when you come to chapter 2 of the same book where we have read 2 Kings, verse 15, the Bible says, And when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Now, the spirit rested on Elisha. And remember, Elisha had asked for a double portion. And the prophet, I think, someplace he says, many people ask for the Holy Spirit, but when the Holy Ghost comes, he finds nowhere to rest, nowhere to settle. But now, when the Holy Spirit came, I mean, not the Holy Spirit as such, but the spirit of Elijah came and rested upon Elisha. not strived, not struggled with, not wrestled. Because you remember when God visited Jacob, they wrestled the whole night. Now that word there is very important. To rest. And very many are failing to go ahead in this ministry because the spirit of Elijah is not finding rest. You cannot have the Elisha ministry, the double portion, when the spirit is struggling. Because when you come to Genesis chapter 6, here's how God describes, Moses describes, he says, it came to pass, verse 1, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all of which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. So God cannot bring his spirit to strife. He brings his spirit to rest. Now when his spirit comes to rest, then you also get rest. But if he can't rest, then you can't rest. But how does he rest? What is the problem? When you come here, there is this very important quote the prophet says in the message, hidden life, a hidden life in Christ. When he's talking about Ezekiel 11, 19 and 36, 26, 27, he said, he would give you a new spirit. Now, that isn't God's spirit. That is your spirit. God gives you a new spirit. Then he says, I'll put my spirit in him. In other words, unless you have a new spirit, that spirit cannot come. So he gives you a new spirit before he brings his spirit. And then when he puts a new spirit in you and he brings his Holy Spirit, there's no struggle. That spirit rests. So when God puts a new spirit on you, then when he brings the spirit of Elijah. Now remember, Elisha never prayed for the spirit of God to come as a devil. He prayed for the spirit that was on Elijah. A double portion of thy spirit. And if you go to the Bible, it is with a small s. It's not a large s. In other words, it was not the Holy Spirit. It was character of Elijah. Because Elisha knew that if I can only get that character that was in Elijah, then all that God put in Elijah will come upon me. So he comes here, he says, God gives you a new spirit. And that is your spirit. And then he says, God gives you a new spirit, and he says, I will put my spirit in him. But the thing God has to do is give you a new spirit first. Now listen. Make your nature a little more gentle and you settle down. He makes your nature a little bit more gentle. So that you can settle down. You settle down in the ministry. Like I was preaching one time, I think, in Beaufort, I was talking about the challenge of settling down the church in the ministry confidence. You remember, Jesus told the disciples, says, if you can make them sit down in the company of 50s, that is your problem. If they can sit down, then they will eat. But you see, making 5,000 men to sit down in a company of 50s was not a joke. And you are 12 men in one evening. And Jesus is there, but he doesn't talk to the multitude himself. He tells the disciples to tell the 5,000, sit down. Moreover, not just anyhow, but in 50-50s. The company of Jubilees. So if you can make them sit down, then I'll feed them. If they can take your word and accept to sit down, settle down under the ministry confidence. And that's what he told Brother Branham. If you shall get the people to believe you. That's why Jesus said, you believe in God, believe also in. So it is very easy to believe in God, but to believe in this God that has put on flesh became a problem. And then the prophet says the hardest thing that God has ever had to do is to make a mortal believe in another. No matter, can you imagine? I was talking with a brother the other day. I said, today they are trying to examine the supernatural about. And you can't imagine. Did you ever think about it, that we believe John the Baptist to be a prophet? And Brother Branham was compared to John the Baptist and said, like John was sent, so shall you be sent. And you know that John the Baptist never performed any miracle? Right. Not even a single one. Right. But why do we believe him? Yeah. Right. And Brother Branham, there's a lot of miracles, signs, wonders, vindications, and the modern intellectual spirit of intransigence, you know, and prestige. Comes and tries to resist that. Yeah. And sometimes you wonder, even within the message circles, why they followed Elijah, they believed Elijah, but they didn't receive the spirit of Elijah. Why God had, you know, their own nature could not change. And that's why when Brother Branham was going to preach the deepest of all the mysteries he preached, the seven seals, he started with the message, God hiding and revealing himself in simplicity. Yeah. And that's why God took a seventh grade man to bring this message. That's right. So that you will be just completely like a pipe through which the water will pass. Any affected at all. Now he comes here, he says, so what does God do? He makes your nature a little more gentle and he settled down. Oh, he couldn't even live with you. So even if he came, he will just go away immediately. He can't even live with you. So he has to get you fixed up first. I love that. He has to get you fixed up first. Before he can come in. So you have a problem. You have to be fixed up. He knows where to touch. What to throw out, what to put back, what to adjust. He has to get you fixed up first before that himself can come in and then settle. The problem we had is a lot of us, when we believe the message, we ended there. But God has to get us fixed up first. Make you more gentle. More humble, more obedient. Yeah. Amen. And you settle down. There's no looking here or there again. You are contented. You know you have found the truth. I'm not looking for the truth. I'm not looking for anything else. I found it. I have got reality. Problem is me to become that. Not that anything to do with the word. The word is okay. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So he continues. And then he says, so he has to get you fixed up before he can come in. I'll give you a new spirit. And then you take him anywhere. Take him anywhere. I don't care where you are going. Whatever problem you are going to face. Once he has settled. Take him anywhere. Face any demon. Face any situation. And then he says, you go all kinds of places. He's got to get you fixed so you can entertain him right. Oh my, hallelujah. He continues in the same message. He says, God has to give you a new spirit. He has to give you a new spirit to get along with his spirit. Well, Some people are so mean, they can't even get along with themselves. Let alone with God. If he came in, that's right. So doubtful and up and down. God has to give you a new spirit, give you a new nature. So you can get along with the spirit when it comes. Amen. So I hope you see it. Now, what am I trying to look at or build to? This Elisha, which is a type of today, had a ministry that was a double portion. Because the spirit of Elijah came and rested. Not struggled, not argued, not fought with him. Okay. Now, you'll find that this Shunammite woman comes up. And before I go to the message, which I have to do it quickly here, I want us to look at this one point about this woman. When you come to chapter 4 of 2 Kings, the Bible says, and it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where there was a great woman. And you know, when women are great or men are great, they have no time for spiritual things. They seldom think about God. But this one was a special case where there was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And it was that as often as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God. I perceive. Like John chapter 4. Sir, I perceive you are a prophet. I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passes by us continually. Let's make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be that when he cometh to us, he shall turn thither in. This is a woman. She didn't know what she was doing. And we saw the story we read. How that several years later, the prophet comes and tells this woman, and say, you and your household, you sojourn wherever you want to go. Because God has called a famine. This is the strangest thing you could hear of from a prophet. A prophet telling a Jew to leave the land of promise to go outside. And yet even Brother Branham preaches in Kinsman Redeemer, he says, whenever a Jew leaves the land, he goes to face problems. But this is a prophetic pronouncement. A prophet telling a believer to leave her position here, to go to sojourn. And this woman went to the Philistines' land. 7 years. There's something about this story which is deeper than just that. You know, I'm trying to restrain myself. Yesterday I preached so hard that I felt I'm finished and I have so many meetings. Hallelujah. Now, you look at this woman going away, and at the end of 7 years, she's coming back to claim her land, her house, and the king doesn't answer her. Not even one word. And then instead of the king answering her, he asks Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, can you give me the report about the ministry of Elisha? And then as he was telling the stories of the exploits of the ministry of Elisha, he mentioned this woman, about a woman who was given a child supernaturally. She was barren, and then that child eventually died, and how Elisha brought that child back to life. And then the woman rises up at that same time and says, "Excuse me, King, I am that woman." And then Gehazi says, "Yes, she's that woman. And that is the son." In other words, she had lost everything if she was not mentionable. But because she was mentionable, she got everything restored back. Now my title is "The Bride's Mentionable Position Within the Omega Elisha Ministry." Are you mentionable? Do you feature? Will you stand up in that day and say, "Here I am"? Because now, why did she come after the seven church, after the 7 years, after seven church ages? She went to the Gentiles. This was a type of the original Pentecostal church that was born on the day of Pentecost, and then it left that and went to the Gentile dispensations. Seven church ages, 7 years. And then in Israel, there was famine because Israel was blinded, and salvation went to the Gentiles. But now we are in the time of restoration, and then original Pentecostal church has to be restored. And all that we lose, all this church lost through the seven church ages, God brings Malachi 4 to tie the loose ends. Amen. All the things that we lost have to be restored now. Right. Amen. So this is the holy convocation time. Right. Because we are not in the seventh age. We have been called out of Laodicea. We are now in the bright age. Yeah. So convocation in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that's where we are gathered now. And that's where you are going to present your claim. But the question is, are you mentionable?
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, blessed be the name of the Lord.
Look at this. The prophet says in the message, taking side with Jesus, he said, "You see, the word and the works vindicated him." Amen. Oh, to the true believers, the predestinated, that were predestinated to see him and to know his ministry. There he was. No matter if he never opened his mouth about anything, they knew who he was. Just like this woman knew Elisha by his ministry. He never preached to her. He never even visited her. She's the one who constrained him and said, "Come." Predestinated. And you see, when you are trying to do a service to the Lord, sometimes the devil comes up and says, "What have you benefited from? So far, all these years, I see no change in you. You are always in the church. You are always saying amen. But you are passing through trials, temptations, and hardships all the time. What have you got so far? You have put a lot of investment of time and money and tithes and offerings and so forth. Come on, you have prayed and fasted. What have you got so far?" Just like this woman, when she... Even Elisha himself got like ashamed. He said, "What can I do for this woman?" He was asking the servant. The servant said, "Let's call her." They called her. I said, What do you want? Can we speak for you to the king? Can we try to help you in any way?" She said, "I have nothing. I need nothing. I dwell among my people. I'm a well-to-do man. I mean, a well-to-do woman with a rich husband. Have no problem." She never even asked. And yet she was barren. Look at that woman. Her love to the ministry, her love for God, her union with the word was unconditional. She didn't even say, "Lord, I'm going to continue to serve you if you give me a child." She didn't even put any condition. Even when the prophet said, "What do you want? What is your petition that we can pray for you or speak for you to the king?" He says, "Nothing." And then it's just the desperation of Elisha himself. He said, "What should we do for this woman?" Until he has to say, "She has no child." Sometimes you may begin badly, but you may be the right person for the ministry. Amen. You may begin a very stubborn one. Wow. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You remember Mark? When we come here in the New Testament, I want to read something here. When Paul is speaking here in the last chapter of 2 Timothy, which is chapter 4, he says in verse 10, he says, "For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Amaltia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with you, for he's profitable to me for the ministry." Mark is profitable to me for the ministry. Do you remember this Mark is the one they separated with? They argued the contention with Barnabas so hard. If you go back there, in the book of Acts, I think, if I'm to remember, Acts chapter 15, let's see here, from verse 37. It says, "And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work." This Mark reached a certain time and abandoned. When conditions got a little bit hard, he ran off. He could not stand in the trials of the ministry. And Paul rejected him. Said, "I'm not going to go with this man again in a mission." Now he says, and the contention was so sharp between them, between Paul and Barnabas, that they departed asunder, one from the other. So Barnabas took Mark and sailed Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas. Now you can imagine this same Mark, whom Paul rejected, could have sat down and said, Why on earth should the messenger of the Lord reject me? Why am I having problems with the ministry? God should have worked on him, fixed him, tuned him, and adjusted him, and settled him down. And then later on, you find Paul is saying, "That man is now profitable to me in the ministry. Make sure when you come, bring him." Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, holy convocation time. If you come here, you'll find the same thing in the book of Joshua. Joshua also is coming in the holy convocation time. I'll refer to this time. To this later, as we are about to finish later. When you come to Joshua chapter 14, this is the story of Caleb, a type of the true church, the true bride. Let's begin from verse 6. "Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, 'Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me.'" You get it? "Concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea." You know it. Now, I want you to notice a revelation here. He says, "Concerning me," not "concerning us." He's not including himself in the same portion with Joshua. He says, "Concerning me and you." Because Joshua was now a different person in this dispensation. Joshua the prophet says stands for the Holy Ghost, and Caleb was standing for the bride.
Right. Amen.
So he doesn't package himself together with Joshua. He says, "You know what? Moses the prophet spoke concerning me. The promises for me, you know." Right. And he's speaking to the Holy Spirit, which is Joshua. And telling him, "This is the promise that was given to me prophetically.
Yeah.
And it's my right to it."
Amen.
And then he says, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me," not sent us. And yet Joshua was also included. He doesn't mention Joshua. He sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy the land. And I, not we, I brought the report. Brought him word again as it was in my heart. Yet there were two with Joshua. But now Joshua is a different person.
Joshua is standing for the Holy Spirit. So by revelation and by inspiration, Caleb is not including himself with Joshua in the same lot. No. He says, I sent me. And I brought a report. And then he says, that was in my heart. And then, nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people to melt. But I wholly followed the Lord, thy God. My God, okay? Not our God. That was a revelation. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord, my God. Now listen. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spoke this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. Wandered. In the years of famine, they were wandering. Okay? And now, lo, I am this day 85 years, that is 85 years. And yet, I'm as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now. For war, both to go out and to come in. And then he says, now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spoke in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. He's talking as him, speaking to Joshua, another office. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, I wanted you to watch here that in this holy convocation time, when, like I was saying yesterday, he says, come up here. We are not anymore looking at things as human beings. We are looking at things by the mind of Christ. We are gathered in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Even Brother Branham, when he preached the seven seals, he says the Bible became a new book. Why? He was caught up, as I said yesterday, he was caught up to meet that constellation of seven angels which formed the head of Christ. And he put on literally the head of Christ to come back and speak those mysteries by the head of and the mouth of Christ, by the intelligentsia of Christ, and with a boldness that he could speak only by that inspiration and anointing. So in other words, when we receive these mysteries, they post you, like the prophet says, let me post this, the church this morning where she belongs. This mystery is post you where you belong, in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And then you are in the holy convocation, holy meeting. A meeting of asking for what you lost. All that you ever missed. He comes here in the message proving his word. He says, I want to speak just a few moments. He says, but before he pray for the sick, we've got to get the people in that attitude. It's the attitude that always brings the results. It's the attitude that you take towards God. So every attitude that you come with every day before the Lord counts. You will work even in the day that you will least expect. All right. Every amen you said with the right attitude. Every song you sang with the right attitude. Every service you did with the right attitude. Every prayer will count. This woman didn't know that the things she was doing by that time, they were going to count. But only that when she reached there, her life was mentionable in the ministry of Elisha. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And today we have another Elisha. Do you have a mentionable life testimony?
She screamed, she cried, she asked for her land, she asked for her house, and the king answered nothing. But when her name came up for mention, when it was mentioned that she was part of that ministry, when it came to the ears of the king that she supported that ministry, that also the supernatural of that ministry was manifested in her life. She got a child by supernatural means. Not only that, when that child died, she had faith in the prophet and looked for the prophet and climbed the faith mountain until he brought him down. And there was a restoration of that child's life. And then when that testimony was coming up, she rose up and says, I am that woman. Amen. Taking sides with Jesus. I am that woman who took sides with Jesus. Invisible union. I am that woman who had an invisible union. Whatever someone in Malachi 4 preached, I am that believer. Whatever word you said, I took it. I had no doubt. Amen. I gave no room for any belief. I am that church. I am that woman. I am that believer. Glory. I took the word regardless. I gave in all that was in me. Amen. That's right. And here I stand. Yes. Because this is the time of the holy convocation where I have to claim all that was mine. Listen, we are not going to go in the rapture when we are a bunch of defeated people crying and sorrowful. We are going to go home where we have overcome. You are going to overcome all that has ever plagued you. You are going to be healed of every disease. You are going to overcome every spirit. And that's where we are gathered in Christ. In Christ Jesus, we are more than conquerors. Now, blessed be the name of the Lord. So he says we are in the presence of the Lord, but it's the attitude. Let me come to this quickly. Because I have a few things here to come to. When you come in the message inspiration, which the prophet preaches 1956, he says, you know, Elijah was a fearless man. I believe he says about 4 outstanding miracles in the days of his ministry. And Elisha did 8 outstanding miracles because he had a double portion of the Spirit. Did you ever look? Did you ever just look into those prophets and see what a beautiful type of Christ and the church is typed there? So when you look at the prophets, there is a beautiful type of Christ and the church. And people don't know that the way they relate to a servant of God is exactly the same way God looks that you are relating with Christ. Because how do you become the bride of Christ? By the message of the messenger. This message turns us into the bride of Jesus Christ. How do we become the bride without the message? Impossible. So your attitude to this message and to the messenger makes you qualified fully or less or whatever. Just according to the way you look at it. Let me give you to understand this point. Many fail to know that when you fully identify yourself with the prophet of the day, not as a man, but that gift, that position, that's where the atonement is. That message. Because we received the blood, the word, when the seals were opened. And that book was opened, but with a lamb with bloody, you know, the pages were bloody. Yes, sir. Let me bring this in this form. You remember that mountain where every animal would be killed if it went near. And every person would be killed. But here was Joshua climbing that mountain right to the top and down. And he never died. Why should everybody else die? And Joshua didn't die. Because Joshua was fully identified with the prophet.
And because he was fully identified with the prophet, that was that he became the atonement. Being fully identified with the ministry or the prophet became the atonement for Joshua, that what killed the others could not kill Joshua. And that becomes the evidence that many people are dying spiritually today because they are not fully identified with the prophet. And that becomes the Holy Spirit type that would bring adoption. Joshua. And then you come today and look at the church. How will the adoption come? Unless we are fully identified with the message. Not ashamed. Like I was preaching yesterday. Paul says, I'm going to preach this gospel in Rome also. In Rome also. Among the homosexuals and lesbians and those. You know, while in Rome do as Romans do. Me, I will not do as they do. I'll do as my Father beckons me. I'll live a life that reflects the heavenly kingdom. All roads lead to Rome. Mine leads to heaven. But why? That's why he says, I'll preach this gospel in Rome also. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So he says, Elijah knew that he was going away. God was going to take him away. He went and found Elisha plowing in the field. Because the Spirit of God had told him to go to Elisha. Elijah, he just ran to him and threw his robe over him. A sign. That is all. And then, when he did that, Elijah said, that is Elisha, suffer me first to go and kiss my father and mother goodbye. What did he preach to him? What meetings? What revival? Just throwing a piece of cloth on you? But this man already knew this is a prophet. And he wanted to be fully identified with him. He had a vision. You come down, he says, what was it? It was a sign to the world that he had cut every shoreline loose. He was really going out in a full-time ministry. He was going on then as a prophet anointed of God. He probably never would in this world ever lay eyes on his father and mother again. That's why he kissed them goodbye. Not only that, but the working tools that he had, he burned them in the fields to make a sacrifice to God to show that he had really sold out to everything to be a prophet of the Lord. And we are supposed to prophesy again. And the testimony of Jesus Christ, that spirit of prophecy. What is the testimony? That he's here. He's living in you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then, I want you to know. You have read about Sister Hatye. And why of all the men, all the deacons, all the trustees, all the preachers who walked with Brother Branham in the bush many times, why was that God made them to experience the third pool? And he brought in this poor widow. Why this Sister Hatye? Why not these other men who were with him in the bush all the time? When it happened, they were there with him. And here she is. And then when Brother Barham is relating, she just, that is exactly the truth. Why does he say so? She was fully identified. She said, whatever he says is true. And then he says, come on, you are now given the same promotion. You can also now ride on the same chariot of the third pool power. a woman, a type of a church. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And you know why? She had also lost everything. I want to read you something that I want you to watch. The nature of this woman. Brother Branham speaks about her many things, but I want you to look at this. In the message, speak to this mountain. He says, and we was talking about building the new church up there, the tabernacle. And Mr. Wright said to me, how is the pledges coming on up at the tabernacle? I said, Brother Wright, I'm not there enough to know. He said, you know what? Said, Sister Hattie wanted to pledge $50 towards the church. And Brother Robertson, the trustee of the church, one of them, the chairman, wouldn't let her give it. Said, because that would take her about 6 months to dig $50 out of them hills over there. Can you imagine? This woman was so poor and yet so embedded, so fully committed to the ministry of Brother Branham, that she pledged $50, which would take her 6 months of hard labor to get. 2 months to get the dollars. This is the nature that was in this woman that laid the foundation for the promotion to the third pool. She became mentionable. And here Brother Branham is already mentioning her. She was already mentionable in the Elijah ministry. Now he says, and said, but she gave 20. And Brother Branham, she wants. Okay. And then I thought, you know what? I got $20 here in my pocket. Brother Branham wanted to pay back that money, to return it to her wisely. Meda gave it to me to pick up some eggs. I said, I'll just give her that 20 before I leave back. And just, she's away from here. You will never know it. Brother Branham said, she will not understand that. I'm finding it. So I would bought her ice boxes and things, because I felt so sorry for her up there, that little old mother trying to walk away on that hill. And so I thought, I'll just give her this $20 is what I'll do. When I leave, I'll just slip it. So she'll get it, and that's her $20 she paid on the church up there. So I thought, I'll give her that. Now, he wanted to refund her that money tactfully. He felt so bad that such a poor widow with children to raise and nothing, you know, to live on, is pledging 50 and has already contributed $20. By then, that was a lot of money, not the $20 of today. Now listen, I want you to watch this. So when I said that, now listen, something said to me, that is the Holy Spirit. Something said to me, but your Lord stood one day by the side of a wall and seen a rich man putting thousands of dollars into a treasury. And a little widow came by, and she only had 3 pennies all her living. And now, what would you have done if you would have stood there? You would see that little widow put them 3 pennies in. You would run and say, oh no, sister, don't do that, don't do that. Because we got plenty in here. We don't need that. But Jesus never told her not to do it. So he let her go ahead and do it. Listen to this. Because he knew he had something for her down the road. He had something for her down the road. Little something better. better than money. So this was exactly predictive of what Sister Hattie was. Brother was forbidden to return the money because God knew that this is preparing her for something down the road. Better than money. And even when she was given the opportunity to say, ask anything, ask what you will. She said, Brother Branham, what should I ask? Brother Branham says, if you want money, speak the money. If you want your sick sister to be healed, you have sick mother, they are there and whatever. He says, it's up to you. And she was crying. And everybody was crying. They were shaken that God has given this little woman the chance, you know, to be lifted up into the chasm of the third pool. When they were there, ministers, men, buddies of Brother Branham, they were there. She was a type of the church today. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So, what am I trying to say? She became mentionable. And because she was mentionable, Brother Branham speaks about her many times. All that she had lost was given her. And she says, the deepest desire of my heart is the salvation of my two sons. And he says, I give them to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Children who were laughing and snickering and, you know, in a derogatory manner, how do they in an instant fall on their knees and they are crying for salvation? What happened? Listen to this. I'm coming to finish, but I hope you're picking something. In the message this day, is this scripture fulfilled? The prophet says, I must stop here. I could stop here if I had time to give you just a little tip. Sometimes you may be sitting out there with cancer, or you might be sitting there with a disease. You think, why me being a Christian would be in this way? Why would I be sitting like this if I'm a Christian? Sometimes God lets things get so dark that you can't see up. And around and everywhere. And then he comes and makes a way through it for you. That you might say, this day the scripture is fulfilled that he promised. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He lets things get so dark. Like he let things go so dark for Sister Hattie, so dark for this rich woman who once supported the ministry with all her heart. Imagine God, I would say, precipitated, prompted this woman to lose her riches. Told her to leave her land, go and sojourn. And here she coming back because she was originally a Laodicean believer. I am rich, increased with goods. I have no need of nothing. Huh? When the prophet says, what do you need? He said, I have no need of anything. I'm okay. I'm educated with it. You know, I have good job and a good salary. My husband, we are in peace. Hallelujah. I have need of nothing. And God had to bring her down from the Laodicean spirit. So that she comes on her knees to cry to the king. Through the prophetic ministry, she'll have everything restored back. Amen. Because originally she was naked, poor, miserable, blind, and she didn't know it. But now, she knew it. And she cried out, I need my land. I need my mountain. Give me my mountain. God has kept me alive, and there is a reason for it. Now, I'm going to say something here. He says here in the message, God doesn't call a man to judgment without first warning him. He says,
The prophet is always looking off and seeing something. He's talking about what he's looking at. He ain't thinking about here and what you look like now. He's looking at what's going to be. That's what a prophet is all about. And when he speaks that, if it is in the word of the Lord, it's already been spoken. And there is nothing in the world that can stop it. You see? That's right. Only God himself. Notice. We find that when he speaks his vision, the prophet does. Now, sometimes he speaks good things. He speaks of your healing. All right. You might think, it just can't happen. I haven't got any better. Then what does that do? That just brings the judgment of God upon you. Okay? When people begin to question the prophet, judgment. When people believe the word of the prophet, victory. That's what I want you to look. Yeah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I have to quickly come to this. You come to this message, the restoration of the bride tree. And the prophet says, to restore means to return to the former owner or to bring back to the former estate of condition. Now this church must go back to the former estate. Amen. The original Pentecostal glory. Yeah. Silver and gold have I none? Have I none? But what I have, I give you. Hallelujah. Your spoken word. Right. And I'm not talking about spoken word as a hearsay. Some kind of hearsay. I'm not talking about a story. I've seen the spoken word in my life. And I've seen it in the life of Brother Branham. And Sister Hattie spoke it. And you can speak it. Amen. But you know, sometimes it's going to come. When Peter said, silver and gold I don't have. He was talking about the time of squeeze. When you have no money, you can't buy, you can't sell. But you have something that the devil will never take away from you. Hallelujah. So listen. He says to restore is to return to the original owner or to bring back to the original estate of condition. And we can enforce a claim to be restored. We. Then he comes. He says. Let me go down here. He says to enforce. Then we have the privilege to enforce upon Satan the claims that God gave us. For God has a law, and his word is the law. And God in this word, made certain claims for the church. Therefore, we have a right to force these claims upon Satan and say, give back. But upon what foundation? When you are mentionable. When you are mentionable. Is your name written there? He says. And he has to do it because we can take God's agent. Call him a court bailiff. Huh? God has got an agent. He says we can take God's agent, the Holy Spirit, go right on our knees and says it is thus says the Lord. He's got to give it up. That is all. Because the Holy Spirit is there to make him to do it. So remember, when this woman's name was mentioned, and she had the evidence of the son that was dead, but now is alive, a life that was dead, but is now alive, a faith that wasn't, but is now, restored. She had the evidence of life, quickened back by the resurrection power. The life, the evidence that the boy is here. Right. Then the Bible says the king spoke to an officer. Yeah. Say, restore all that this woman had in the 7 years, all that she lost. Hallelujah. Who was that officer? The Holy Spirit. Amen. Who is the court babe, the enforcer of the claim? And we can make God tell the agent that you have to restore.
tell Satan to vomit back, to put back whatever he took. This is what we are looking forward to. Amen. If you have lost a tooth, you are going to get it. If you have no finger, you will get it. Amen. Glory be to God. You are going to have even youth. Amen. You are going to go back to, forget about the gray hair. Forget about the stooping back. Yes. One of these days, everything is going to be restored back. Amen. And I'm looking forward to that glorious time. I can say like David, I don't want to die. I want to live. I want to see that glorious time of the bride. When the bride's ministry is shaking everywhere in the world before we go home. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then the Holy Spirit will enforce every claim until you look for the demons that once tormented you and you don't see them. You look for the weaknesses that you want fear, once feared, and they are no more. So where is this devil? Where is this problem? Because the Holy Spirit has enforced every claim. Why? You are a mentionable bride. Amen. Your name comes up for mention. Amen. When they talk about the people who praised God, you come up for mention. When they talk about the people who had a life testimony, you come up for a mention. When they talk about the thunder that shook the devil, you come up for mention. When they talk about the people who prayed for the ministry, you come up for a mention. When they talk about the people who are not ashamed of the gospel, you come up for mention. And then the Holy Ghost tells the devil, restore all that was his. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I wish I was a good preacher. My goodness, he talks about this. Who are these mentionable people? Are you that mentionable? Can you come up for mention? What have you done? There are those who are going to be mentioned as people who turned against the ministry. There are those who are going to be mentioned as people who reasoned the word against the word. There are those who are going to be mentioned as people who sat there, you know, laughed sarcastically in the church and sat cross-legged and tried to think like, you know, they have had mass upon the ministry. If it was not me, well, how will this man survive? Well, you know, I have to go there on Sunday just to appease him, you know, make him feel happy because, you know, when I don't go there, I will come back to, you know, follow me up and hold me the full week. Where are you? Hypersensitive, you know, and feeling like, oh, well, it's like sympathize with God to be in the church. There are those who are going to be mentioned for judgment, who have risen up against Malachi 4, who have risen up against the truth that they once knew. Amen. But we have those women, we have that church. We have that woman who gave everything, who created a room in her house for the ministry. Hallelujah. Says here, I even provide food. I have put there a table, I've put there a candle, I've put there a mattress, I've put there a bed, I've put there everything for the ministry. I have a room in my house. Spoke good about the ministry to the husband. Spoke good about the ministry to the wife. Spoke good about the ministry to the neighbor. Spoke good about Brother Branham. Spoke good about the Holy Spirit. Spoke good about the love of God. Spoke good about the grace of God. They are going to be mentionable. They were not ashamed to be identified with the word. They lived, you know, great, rich, powerful. They never looked at that. They looked at what God has done in their age. They looked at the future. Things that are to be, not things that I have now, the things that I am swimming in now, but things that I'm looking at. They were always looking ahead. And they became mentionable. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And this woman, you'll find that he says, here the prophet comes, you say, and if Satan has robbed you of the privilege of being a son or daughter of God, we have a right this morning by the Holy Spirit to enforce the claim of God and say, bring him back. If he has afflicted you and made you sick, we have a right before God to enforce the laws of God. By his stripes we are healed. Amen. Bring him back. Turn him loose. You are taking him out yonder to death and we claim him. Bring him back. Satan, you have no power over him. Now
That is the enforcement. Restore it back to its natural condition again. A man that's sick, a baby that's sick, a woman that's sick, see? They are out of their natural condition. And then we have a right to enforce our claim and not our claim. It is our claim because God gave it to us. By his stripes we are healed. He was wounded for our transgressions. With his stripes we are healed. Now we have a right to enforce that law. And the lawgiver, the Holy Ghost himself is here, the agent of God, to see that it's done. Amen. That is the only way he can work, is when we let him work. When we let him work, you have got to believe it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So what am I saying? I'm simply winding up by telling you, friends, Paul is saying, bring Mark. He's profitable. And I want to tell you this. I am a pastor for about 26 years now. But there are some people that are so special in the church. And I'm not saying some are not special. But there are others who stand out. That each pastor would even always say, where is so-and-so? Even maybe he doesn't mention, but he will always want to find out why that person didn't appear today. Maybe because of their response to the word. Maybe because of the way they praise. Maybe because of the way they say amen. Maybe because of the atmosphere around them when they are there in the church. Maybe because they are faithful and they are humble and respectful. They are special in the ministry. If this man was to write a memoir, to write a report about, you know, people who really encouraged him, people who really gave him, you know, the urge to press on, they are mentionable. I want to tell you, sister, sometimes you may not be known in the church, but there is that little something that God can put in your heart to do. It may not be a big thing. Just like you women, you knew. You know it very well that you don't need big things. Just, you need your husband to come back with a very little thing. Just to tell you that, you know, I was thinking about you. I love you and like you. That is all. But it matters. And just a little, which is positive, you know. God bless you, Pastor, for the message. We really appreciate it. God bless you for standing. It's very important. But there are some people who are very indifferent and mean. Even to say amen is a problem. Even to greet you, it's like I'm just having mass upon you. Even to clap is a problem. What if you have no? If you had no hands? What will you say when that crippled person will stand with you on the day of judgment and say, "Lord, if you had given me hands like you gave that woman, I would have praised you." Okay. How many times do we read the message, read the Bible? And then there are those who can't read. They say, my, if I could also only manage to read. This God has been so good to us. You look, I was looking at a photo of a certain, you know, a devotee, in those Asian countries. Worshipping a pagan god, and they have to punish themselves and pierce themselves. And he had brought a very big metal and pierced through his tank. And it was stuck out, and he stayed there for hours with that metal as a sacrifice to his God. Pagan. And then you can say, such devotion to paganism, a nothing. What about us whom God, by, you know, his supreme grace has brought to the truth? that's so clear, proven, vindicated. What are we doing? You look at the Catholics, they go to church very early for the so-called masses and very humble and very obedient. Obedient to fellowship. What about us? What shall we say? Friends, don't just be a church member. Don't just come as far as being in the church. I was saying yesterday in another place there, I said, the prophet says a church is like a Kadesh Barnea, is a judgment seat. But they reached Kadesh Barnea and he went back. And I think I'm going to preach something about that in Brother Keith's place. What is this that is keeping away people from crossing over to the promised land? What is here? There's a very big problem here. Why have ministers, believers, been in the message so many years and fail at the last minute? Why are they going back? What is the problem? We need a breakthrough. We need to go to the heavenly places. Like I was preaching somewhere, I think yesterday I was mentioning it. I said, you go and connect to your theophany and you remember what you did before the foundation of the world. And there's nothing like complaining, murmuring, unbelief. This is too much, Lord. I can't stand this. There is nothing too much. All that you are going through, God knew you'd go through and you agreed with him that you'll manage it before you were even born. And that's why you are going through it exactly. And God knows it is through that that your testimony is going to be built. And then you become mentionable. And then you'll receive those glory diadems one of these days. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So friends, let's be mentioned positively in this ministry. And when you are mentioned and you are in the presence of the King, he's here. He descended. I don't care how many demons, millions of them have been released and so forth. But his ministry was not entrusted in any man. With any man, he came down himself. He's here. And in the presence of that King, once you are mentionable, in this holy convocation time, everything that belongs to you is going to be enforced and restored. You can tell him, Lord, I need my joy. Lord, I need my victory. And Lord, if I'm not mentionable now, help me to be mentionable. Help me. What am I doing? What is my part in this ministry? Because I must be a particular part in your body. And every part has a function it does. What is my function? What is my work? What is my duty? Lord, reveal to me what I'm supposed to do. And I want you to fill me with the Holy Spirit, because I don't want even to claim things that are not mine. That's why the prophet says, whatsoever the Holy Spirit shall put in your heart to believe. Because it's not even you who is the believer, it's the Holy Spirit. So once the Holy Spirit comes in you and he'll make your life a testimony that he's the same yesterday, today and forever, and he'll make you mentionable in the kingdom of heaven. Like Jesus said, if you stand for me here, I'll also stand for you there, and I'll also announce you before my Father who is in heaven and the angels. I'll also make a public declaration of you there. That's what I'm looking for, friends. Otherwise, this woman would cry and the king was quiet. But when her name came up for mention,
Blessed be the name of the Lord. And that's what Jesus told Simon the leper. He said, when I came here, you never washed my feet. You never received me with a hug. But this woman, the prostitute, the sinner that you know, came. And what she has done is going to be memorable. It's going to be mentioned everywhere this gospel will go. Therefore, I tell you that all her sins that you are thinking of, which are so many, are already forgiven. Do you know that that woman never repented? But because she approached with the right attitude of worship, that cross where she started by washing the feet with her hair polishing and pouring their expensive perfume, and God was so happy. She lifted up the one who was belittled by the so-called righteous ones, and the sinner came in the right time and did the right thing and upstaged the prestige of those who thought they were holy. He said, all happens. Oh, no matter. Huh? Look at even the other man. The faith of those who brought him. The Bible says they even roofed somebody's house. They bargained with him, we shall pay you. We shall build it back better. And brought down this man on the court. And the Bible says when Jesus saw their faith, this was a visible faith. Began by saying, man, son, thy sins are forgiven thee. Did he repent? No. But he did a mentionable, they did a mentionable something to show their faith in this man that others were just touching around and say, so this is the so-called Messiah. Eh? This is the man. Jesus of Nazareth. For them, they came with a special faith. So friends, I don't care. The prophet said, you may not be the right person. He says, but God doesn't look at, take you for what you are. He takes you for what you want to be. What do you want to be this evening? Say, Lord, break me and mold me and bring me to that image, that character, that attitude that will make me mentionable and that will make me qualify for restoration of all that I've lost, and that the Holy Spirit will go and act on my behalf as a court bailiff. And tell the devil, you must leave this, you must give back this, you must restore this, you must restore this. Courtesy of her commitment to the ministry, her links with the prophetic ministry of the day, and she got everything back. This is what we need now. This is an age of loss, credit crunch. You wake up in the morning, everything is gone. You wake up in the morning, this is happening. Life is lost. This is gone. This is an age of loss. But in Jesus Christ, you are insured. You lose nothing. He says, you who have lost houses, friends, land, what? He says, you'll receive 100-fold. He does it. So we need him. May God bless you. Let's stand up. Maybe you want to be remembered in prayer before I hand over the pastor, Just humble ourselves and lift up your hand and we pray together. Loving Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this evening. You know, Lord, I had to speak in a way that's soft and slow for this body which is already tired and exhausted. But Lord, I commit your children who have gathered here this evening to hear your word. I pray that God will stretch forth your hand upon them. And that God, we are here gathered in one, in heavenly places, in Christ Jesus. This is holy convocation time. When, Lord, all that we lost has to be restored. When this woman who had meandered and sojourned in the Gentile land for 7 years or 7 church ages is being restored back to the original faith of the Pentecostal fathers. God, we are here. And that's why Malachi 4 was sent to restore us back. Help us, Father. The Lord, we do what you want us to do. With all our strength, with our zeal, with all that is within us, God, may we put in all, our all, for we know that's the qualification, Lord. And Lord, just like this woman, the Shunammite woman, she cried but no one listened until her name came up for mention. And she had a living testimony. And just like Sister Hatia, a type of, Lord, what your bride is going to be in the end time. Destitute, poor, miserable, but so much in respect to the ministry. She was never bitter with God because she's suffering. But she was even willing to suffer more and yet to give for the cause of the kingdom. Until you rebuke the prophet who out of concern wanted to refund the money. You told him there is something better for her down the road. Oh God, may you help us tonight. That we may understand, Lord God, all the things we go through. There is something better for us down the road. You have prepared a better thing. A better place for us. A better reward. There's nothing better than eternal life. There's nothing better than being the bride of Jesus Christ. There's nothing, Lord God, better than going in the rapture. And I'm praying that God will help us. And these few words that I've shared with your children this night, may you take them, Lord God, and Lord, wrap them up in your own way and turn them into something that can help them. Lord, if there be any sick, afflicted, tormented, those who are persecuted, those who are abandoned, who are feeling, Lord, depressed and feeling like hopeless, may you calm them down, Lord God, and settle them down in their ministry confidence. Lord, and have your way with them. Lord God, heal the sick, because I know it's already done. It's just the manifestation thereof. And Father, I pray that you'll bless the ministry here of the pastor here and all the deacons and trustees and all the believers here. And those who manage to be here this evening, Lord, bless them. And Lord, transform this word, that it also transform their lives. Lord, for a testimony that will become a thunder to the devil, that will shake the devil. Grant it, Father. Our desire is to become mentionable before your princes. And then the Holy Spirit will enforce the claim. Grant it, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul, sweet spirit.
Complete as I sit at your feet, sweet spirit, sweep over my soul. Come on, let's sing that again. Oh, sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul, sweet spirit, sweep over my soul. My rest is complete, oh, as I sit at your feet, sweet spirit, sweep over my soul.
Let's just worship the Lord for the message that he spoke to our hearts here tonight. Thank God, amen, for our precious brother Abraham, the bride mentionable within the Elijah ministry. And man, just so much that was spoken there tonight. And I know that everybody here was fed, everybody received something from the Lord. So much, just thinking back to just a few, about a month or so ago, that the Lord had us kind of going to that same scripture, and we were talking of how the bride has also been getting power to give, amen. And Brother Branham gave Hattie Wright's boys their spoken word salvation. And so not only that, when you look at that, but I traced that back in scripture. So, you know, we got to find that in scripture. And we went and found Elijah, where he actually, you know, Elisha said, "I want a double portion of your spirit." And that was Elijah giving Elisha that. When you really think about it in scripture, Elijah gave Elisha a double portion of his spirit. And after the sermon and everything, Brother Solomon had approached me and he said, "Brother, you know, I thought you was going to carry that on through to Elisha, because Elisha was the one that gave this woman, you know, that the child, you know, because she never even asked for it, but God gave it to her anyway because she was mentionable." And I tell you, this is something that's really, really special. Just it made a comment there. She was mentionable because of how she respected the ministry. And just the other day, I think yesterday, I put a post out there as we're coming through our church age Sunday school. And one of the statements that Brother Branham made is that people that refuse or reject to go all the way with God, say their names will be taken out of the Lamb's Book of Life. And I think about people like, you know, some of these websites that are out there, and how people coming against the prophet. They once believed this, but now they don't believe it anymore. They got to be careful, because their names can be taken right out of the Book of Life. You know, this is serious business when people come against the Word of God, you know. And what we have is vindicated. Amen. Nothing that we have to vindicate. God's already done it. All we got to do is believe it. And, you know, as he was just kind of going on and talking, Brother Abraham was talking there. This woman, Shunammite, she spoke well of the ministry. She built a little room in her house. Amen. And it just totally opposite of the 42 children that were destroyed by she-bears, because in their household, Brother Branham said the parents were very disrespectful to the ministry. You know, and because of some of the things that they said, the kids grew up with that same amount of disrespect, and eventually that caused death for those children. So be careful, church. Be very careful as to how you handle and how you speak, amen, towards ministry and how you handle ministry. I tell you, it's very, very important. It's the little things that make you mentionable. It's the little things that make you mentionable. God bless you, Brother Abraham. We really appreciate you tonight. Thank you so much for just getting yourself out of the way and allowing God to speak to our hearts tonight. Thank you, Brother Brown, for bringing our precious brother down this way. We really, really appreciate it. I know that the drive, amen, sometimes can be a little taxing, but just thank God. This whole area has been blessed by our precious brother, and I tell you, we won't forget this one. We won't forget it. God bless you. Let's have a word of prayer, amen, and we'll close out the service tonight. Praise the Lord. Okay, we want to remember this prayer request as we close out tonight. Brother Jeffrey's asking prayer for a lady that he knows that recently had surgery on her shoulder, and now she's feeling a lot of pain. He wants to pray, ask the church to pray for her healing. So we want to remember her in prayer, amen, on tonight. Let's just bow our heads. Father, we thank you, O God, for the word of the Lord that has been spoken to us. And God, so much that we can draw from here. And God, one of the things that, Lord, I want to draw from is just being respectful to those, Lord God, that you have called to minister this gospel and to speak to our souls. God, being very careful of how we handle those things. It's what this lady did that was mentionable, just the little things that she did, God, that cause her to be in a position where she can receive all that she lost. Help us, God, to be respectful, especially, Lord, to the message of the hour. So many things are being said, so many things are being spoken. God, let us be careful as to what we allow to come out of our mouths, or what we allow, God, to, amen, be typed through our hands. Lord, we just want to be careful in that area. We never want to do anything, Lord, that might grieve your spirit. But we want to do things, Lord, that will cause you to think that we were mentionable. And I even thank, Lord, even something else that we just went through in Sunday school, how the prophet said in the church age book that there would be many that will receive eternal life, God, but they were never even born again. But they'll receive eternal life. And the reason that they'll receive it is because of the respect that they had to the bride. And Father, I just pray, Lord Jesus, that you'd help us to realize how important that is just to respect one another. When Brother Branham's wife disrespected him, God, it caused a tumor to be formed inside of her. She got sick from that, Lord. So help us to understand that you still watch over things like this. So let us be careful, God, as to how we handle one another, Lord, as we go forward tonight. Thank you for your servant, Lord, Brother Abraham, just getting himself out of the way and allowing you to use him tonight. And God, our hearts are full and our spirits, Lord God, are full. We thank you, God, for how you spoke to us tonight. And we appreciate the word of the Lord, God, as it came forth to our hearts tonight. Lord, we're certainly grateful. God, before we leave, we want to take this request before your throne. Brother Jeffrey is aware of a lady, God, that has gone through surgery on her shoulder, and God, now she's feeling pain, and he's asking for healing in her body. Father, I pray that you would just intervene on her behalf, and whatever the pain is, that it would begin to subside, and that you, God, would begin to just lay your hands on her and bring complete and total healing to her body. May she realize that it's nothing but the mighty hand of God that has caused this healing to take place in her body. So we commit her now into your hands. We also commit your people into your hands, God, as we leave this place, but not your presence. May we meditate on the things that we heard here tonight, and may we fellowship around that, God, and may your spirit just continue to edify us, Lord, and build us up in these things. We believe that this is the season of restoration. We believe that this is a time, Lord, where we can have our holy convocation, our meeting with you, and we can receive all that we have lost. God, let it be, Father, in the lives of your people. God, is our prayer. We pray your blessings upon Brother Brown and the church there in St. Augustine. We ask that you give them traveling mercies as they travel back on tomorrow. And Lord, may you touch Brother Abraham and his body for the remaining services that he has to bring in the word of the Lord. May you use them for your glory and for your honor. Thank you, God, for all that you've done in this place tonight. It's in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen and amen. Let's give the Lord another hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. God richly bless you. You can be seated. Amen. The brothers will come at this time to dismiss us. Don't forget, for the local church here, the next service will be on Sunday morning. We'll have our 7 a.m. prayer on Sunday morning. There'll be no Sunday school. Then service will start at 10:30. And Brother Reginald Joseph from the Boynton Beach Church will be here ministering the gospel on Sunday morning. Amen. So I'm sure that God has another word, amen, to speak to the church. So God bless you. We'll be back, amen. And after that, after Sunday morning service, the next service will be the following Sunday, because we'll be going into Brother Wesco's meetings. God bless you, church.